What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Gridiron Podcast. It's episode 10. Can't believe we're already here. My name's Nick.
My name is Michael.
And today we're going to be talking about some key injuries, a couple of the games that happened last week, and then a couple other key notes as well. So let's get started. All right, so a couple of the injuries that we could talk about a little bit, starting with Brandon Ayuk, who obviously gets injured last week, and he suffers a torn ACL and MCL. He's out for the season. What does this mean? Obviously, the 49ers being injury ridden so far this year, obviously with Christian McCaffrey, and now Brandon Ayuk and a couple other people that we'll also talk about in terms of like George Kittle and Debo Samuel. What does that leave for the 49ers, who right now are under 500 and last in the division or third in the division, somewhere around there? Where does that leave them going forward?
Yeah, I mean, if you're a Niners fan, this is just a bad situation for this year, at least. I think that this loss, I mean, we'll talk about it later. I mean, it was a bad loss. I mean, but on top of that, you also lose Brandon Ayuk for the year, which, you know, when I looked at it, I was like, oh, that's a bad knee injury, but I didn't realize it was that bad.
Right.
The Niners are already beat up. They're already losing games that they really shouldn't. This is just a bad situation for the 49ers this year. It really, I'll ask you this question because I want to say this. It really drops my odds for them to like make it to the Super Bowl now.
Yeah. I think going into this year, I didn't have the odds of the 49ers, being that high in terms of the Super Bowl. I think, the Lions kind of blew it, last year. I think realistically, the Lions should have been in the Super Bowl last year, barring some key drops from Josh Reynolds, key fourth downs that they didn't convert, and just kind of blowing the lead. But even like now with these injuries, like you said, the odds are getting slimmer and slimmer for the 49ers. I think even to make the playoffs, because I know you saw this. If the season ended today, all four NFC North teams will be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So it's making the odds very slim for the 49ers to make it into the playoffs and even into the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I think another injury we can talk about here is we'll talk about quarterbacks, you know, just for the time being. We'll talk about Tua. You know, we saw that he potentially might be back for, I don't know if it's this week or the next week, but we did see that he was in practice, right? Without the
Guardian
helmet. Yeah. This is good for the Dolphins, obviously. I mean, without Tua, they are an absolute train wreck. I mean, it's disastrous over there without Tua. I mean, I do have my questions about him in the cold and in playoff games, but just for this season right now, they need Tua just to win.
Yeah, I think it bars well for the Dolphins, obviously having Tua back. But during that stretch, even without Tua, their defense was not very good. So I don't think just because you're bringing Tua back, I don't think it's going to make a huge difference for them. Obviously, with it being his third concussion just in the NFL alone, him not wearing a Guardian helmet, even though the Dolphins requested him to, that leaves me to question a lot of things for Tua. Obviously CTE could play a factor in it. Or it could just be him being like, I'm okay, I'm going to get through this. But one wrong hit at like coming off of a concussion could lead to bigger injuries.
Yeah. You know, you brought up a point which just made me think. This stretch without Tua, the defense, you just said, was not great by any means. Does this lead to like questions about Coach McDaniels, do you think?
I don't think it leads to questions on Coach McDaniels.
Because
It might.
there were things I've read that was like, you know, does this question his coaching ability without Tua in his pocket? You know, his play calling's kind of been awful as well. I mean, it's kind of been obviously it's a whole different game plan when you don't have like your key players out there. Obviously, you're starting QB, that's everything. But I mean, it should be a little bit better than this, in my opinion. I mean, they are just getting blown out.
Yeah, I don't think it is questions on Coach McDaniels. I think obviously the play calling was a lot different without Tua, as you mentioned, but I think it also falls on the defensive coordinator.
Yeah,
Because
a little bit.
the play calling, yes, is Coach McDaniels, because he's the one making the play calls. It's not the offensive coordinator, it's him. And then the defensive coordinator, he's the one that's making the defensive calls. And something's not working in Miami.
Yeah.
Is it Coach McDaniels solely? No.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, whatever the play call is, the players have to execute it, and they
Yeah,
haven't been able
absolutely.
to execute it.
Yeah, that's why I mean, my rule of thumb is players first. They get blamed because they're the ones out there.
Right.
But you know, going into a you know another disastrous coaching slash quarterback situation, we've got the Cleveland Browns. As this week, we saw Deshaun Watson go down, and it's a terrible injury. And also, shame on you, Cleveland fans. I mean, that is just disgusting. No matter how terrible the organization situation is, or whether you like a player or not, that is just disgusting.
Yeah.
Especially for a guy who's time and time again been trying and trying and trying with this team, even though it is a disastrous situation, that's disgusting.
Yeah, I think I saw something. It was on TikTok, and I don't know if this guy was trolling or not, but he said, now with Deshaun Watson being out, Cleveland finally has a chance to win.
No.
And it's bad because as a human being, like I'm a Lions fan, you're a Packers fan. We talked about this last episode with Aiden Hutchinson. As a human being, you never want to see anyone get injured, especially of this magnitude. Obviously, a torn Achilles is not a pretty injury by any means. And for the Cleveland fans to kind of cheer him getting injured, that's beyond anything that I ever would have expected.
Yeah.
But
Going into the
we'll have to see.
situation, I'll deep dive into this. So the Browns are in a sticky situation here because now they're getting phone calls about Myles Garrett, Greg Newsome, who's a cornerback. But they also cannot get rid of Deshaun Watson. I mean, at least I don't think, because the cap hit is like $73 million. That's
His cap
insane.
here is insane.
That is insane. So you're kind of stuck there unless you're going to take on some of his contract wherever he goes, which I don't know if they'll do, but I don't know. I don't even know what you could get for Deshaun Watson. I mean, it's a shame because I'll let you go ahead here. It's a shame because Deshaun Watson's now missing this season, and last season he had a shoulder injury, so he cannot stay healthy as well.
And to kind of key on your point on potentially taking on the contract wherever he goes, I don't see them making a move this year because obviously he's out for the season. And realistically, no team is going to want to trade for a player that can't even play this season. And speaking on like even last year, him having that shoulder injury, he hasn't been the same since he left Houston.
Yeah, agreed.
But I will also say it's a whole nother scheme in Cleveland. Obviously, the offensive line has not been there. And Cleveland, yes, they're in a sticky situation. Obviously, You mentioned Myles Garrett. There's multiple teams calling about him. So we'll have to see going forward what Cleveland actually decides to do. Obviously, they did get Nick Chubb back. So that is a big gain. But we'll have to see what they do with Watson, Garrett, and even if they utilize Chubb, because they really didn't utilize him last week. So,
yeah, I think the next team was Monday Night Football, Buccaneers. I mean, they got okay. Don't the score fool you, but two garbage touchdowns, but also two big injuries, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Mike Evans' injury, I mean, it was crazy because I thought he had a touchdown in the back of the end zone, but he dropped it, unfortunately. And what was it, his hamstring? He pulled his hamstring.
Yeah.
So there goes Mike Evans. But then here's the other injury that, you know, just really blew my mind. Chris Godwin. The reason being is because it was like fourth quarter. I think it was like 3 minutes, if not under that.
It's garbage time. 2.5 minutes or something like that.
Yeah, it was garbage time and totally the game was out of reach. In my opinion, it's like, yeah, I guess you throw your starters out there just to, like, you know, say you're trying. But, I mean, you're going to risk something like that. Now Chris Godwin's out. So what do the Buccaneers do?
Yeah, I mean, definitely two key injuries. Mike Evans is expected to return during the season. Obviously later in the season, it is listed as a moderate hamstring injury. But then obviously Chris Godwin, dislocated ankle. We're not going to show the video cause it's not as gruesome as Aiden Hutchinson's was. But it is pretty gruesome. And it's definitely a big toll on the Buccaneers because you lose your number one receiver and then your slot guy. Chris Godwin had the stats as the number one wide receiver, and then you lose the person that the defense is mainly looking at in Mike Evans.
Yeah.
So I think it hinders them big time, but I do see them continuing to kind of progress as the season goes. So it's definitely terrible for the Buccaneers, but I do see them. Yeah. I don't see them losing a bunch of games like Miami did.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I definitely think it hurts their odds. I mean, we'll see obviously with the returns, how the Bucs do in the meantime. But you know what, Nick? It's our favorite segment. You know why? You're going to talk about the Lions. We're going to do a little recap of some notable games of this past week because there were some bangers. Game number one, I'll let Nick start off with this one. Lions versus Vikings. This was a huge game.
Yeah, so I'm going to pull up the score for you guys real quick because we need to make this well aware of what happened in this game. I was seeing a lot of trash talk going on from Vikings fans. And as a Lions fan, I was like, they're going to get the job done, right? So obviously starting down 10-0 in the first quarter, the Lions then go on a giant run, scoring 21 straight points, making the Vikings defense look silly, knowing exactly when they're doing a cover zero and just launching it. But then you have to look at the Lions defense. They stepped up. They won without Aiden Hutchinson, which was the big question going into it. Obviously, the pass rush wasn't there entirely, with the only sack coming from Aleem McNeil. But I think they were able to limit what the Vikings were able to do. Obviously, Brian Branch coming up with an interception. And the Lions are now number one in the toughest division in football, the NFC North, sitting pretty at 5-1.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I want to, you know, touch on was that the Lions were up comfortable in this game. And I, next you know, checked the score. And here's the Vikings scooping up the football and taking the lead. And I thought the Lions were going to blow it. I could not believe that mistake by the Lions. I mean, Jared Goff, I should say. I mean, I know he got hit, but it's like, I don't know.
It wasn't
like,
Jared Goff.
Who was it? Was it?
David, it was David Montgomery. David Montgomery, earlier in the game, suffered a knee injury. He was able to come back, and then he fumbled the ball his very first play back, which gave the Vikings a one-point lead. They attempted a two-point conversion, severely underthrown by Sam Darnold. And Lions marched down the field, and the game-winning field goal by the rookie kicker, Jake Bates, from 44 yards out.
Yeah, you know, last thing I want to say about this game is the fact that Goff was able to do this, the fact he was able to march down the field with very little time left, obviously set up his kicker for the field goal. But, yeah, this was a good game, man. This was a banger of a game. I mean, I definitely expected it. It went back and forth. I mean, it was just a great game.
Yeah, I was definitely on the edge of my seat the entire time. And if you guys didn't peep my Twitter, go check it out.
Yeah. So the next game is my favorite team, the Green Bay Packers taking on the Houston Texans. This game was honestly very quiet, in my opinion. It was a close game. It was what I expected, you know, within seven. I mean, I predicted the Packers to win by 7, but nonetheless, the Packers should have absolutely ran away with this game, in my opinion. The mistakes that they made to allow the Texans time and time again to be in this game was why the score is what the score is. As simple as a Jordan Love pick, which was, you know, way overthrown. He sailed it, which gave the Texans a good return and put them on the Packers, I believe, 30 or within the 20. I don't remember. But then the other mistake was a special teams mistake where a punt hit our Corey Ballantyne on the Packers, and the Texans picked it up within the 10. So it was an easy score. But you know what? Nonetheless, though, the Packers were still able to put it together. Jordan Love, I had my doubts, man. I had my doubts of him also being able to pull a Jared Goff. And within, you know, under a minute, is he able to drive down the field? And they did just that. Thank you, McManus. We have a kicker. We have a kicker in Green Bay. He has landed. So the Packers won. I mean, they didn't have an answer for Joe Mixon. That's pretty much the only thing. We held C.J. Stroud to, what was it, 100 yards?
86 total, yards.
Just under 100 yards, yeah. So, I mean, nonetheless, Packers win, baby.
Yeah, I'll kind of touch on that. When we were predicting this game, we were kind of torn. And I said, if the defense can step up, the Packers are going to win this game. And they limited C.J. Stroud to under 100 yards. So I would say that is a step up. Obviously, not able to stop Joe Mixon. The run defense needs to kind of get to where the pass defense and the turnovers are getting for the Packers to have a blowout win against a team like the Texans instead of just a two-point win.
Yeah. No, what the Packers need in going forward is edge presence. They have no edge presence right now. Rashawn Gary, I know he – I believe he got a sack, but I could be wrong, actually. I don't know. I really don't know. This guy, you know, he just re-signed, big money, and he's kind of been MIA this year. Preston Smith, Kenny Clark, they've kind of all been MIA, I cannot lie. But they're still holding up, I guess, but they're just not putting out the numbers. So, but this was a good win, though. The Packers are sitting pretty at 5-2, and we'll be heading to Jacksonville next week. So, could be 6-2. So, yeah. Next game that we have which we kind of talked about already, was the Chiefs and 49ers. This was a good game just for the sake of two contending Super Bowl teams this year in San Francisco. But San Francisco, I mean, obviously with the injuries, it was not pretty. Brock Purdy, yeah. Three interceptions. Mahomes, two interceptions. These QBs did not play well.
Yeah, and obviously the Super Bowl rematch, which oddly enough was not on prime time.
Yeah.
NFL, fix yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll kind of speak on this. There was a stat that came out that Kyle Shanahan has never beaten Andy Reid as a head coach. Obviously, the injuries kind of played a factor in this, but I will say Mahomes was just able to run wherever, whenever he wanted to against the 49ers defense. I'm kind of worried about the 49ers. I know we touched on it. Even with the offensive injuries, their defense was obviously able to get two interceptions, but they were pretty much non-existent in the run game.
Now, here's my problem with the 49ers is that this game was huge. I mean, obviously a rematch, but in San Francisco, and you still kind of get slammed by a team that you're trying to contend against in the Super Bowl, and you kind of just got slammed this week. So it's like, are you able to get over this hump despite the injuries? Like, Brock Purdy didn't play well. I mean, how many more chances do you need or to be, you know, showing that, you know, you can really be in the Super Bowl like this? So even against a weak Chiefs team.
Yeah. And the Chiefs remain as the only undefeated team in the NFL. I say that sarcastically because I can't stand the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah. Well, the next game we have is a little bit better. We got the Ravens and Buccaneers, as we talked about before, Monday Night Football. Ravens, Lamar Jackson is playing lights out. I mean, the dude, I think, had five touchdowns. Insane. Baker Mayfield didn't play great. I mean, the Ravens just, they're hot. Ever since losing their first two, five in a row, they've beaten some good teams like the Bills, the Commanders, now the Bucks. Yeah, I mean, they're playing some good football.
Yeah, and obviously I keep mentioning the 1-2 punch in Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry was able to have 15 carries for 169 yards. And one of these runs, he was just able to casually get a good 40 yards. And
yeah, this Buccaneers secondary is terrible. I mean, I know luckily they have a decent offense to kind of put themselves in games, but they're not going to win games like this if their defense cannot step up. I mean,
yeah,
giving up the huge play, 60 yards to Bateman when Lamar's outside the pocket, you know, a touchdown to, was it Bateman? I think it was Bateman again. But, I mean, nonetheless, this Buccaneers secondary has to step up. There has to be some playmaking ability just, you know, to cover. I mean, I don't know. I'm watching this game, and it's like Lamar just got everything he wanted to.
Yeah, and he now sits in third for most five touchdown games in NFL history. And he's only started in 86 games compared to the top two that were in the 500s. So
that's crazy. This next game, it may not be surprising to many, but we have the Eagles and Giants. Just solely want to talk about, I don't even care about the Eagles. I'm going to talk about Daniel Jones because holy cow. I think I read a stat that it was like Daniel Jones hasn't thrown a touchdown in the Giant Stadium.
Yeah.
I swear I've seen that. And mm-hmm. I could not believe that when I saw that. $160 million. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. And obviously it was the homecoming for Saquon Barkley. who had an insane game, 17 carries, 176 yards, and one TD. Daniel Jones was 14 for 21 and 99 yards with no touchdowns. We talk about week after week, who is the worst quarterback in the NFL? We've mentioned Bryce Young. We've mentioned Will Levis. We have yet to mention Daniel Jones, and this man is terrible.
Nah, he's actually scammed us, Nick. I mean, he's given us like a couple good games where it's like, I mean, there's some glances, you know, but now we're three. That's it? Not even 100 yards? I mean, come on, man. I know there's some problems, but like, you do have Malik Nabers. You do have a solid defense. I mean, there's just no excuses for him. Does he just suck? I mean, obviously, I know that, but like, I mean, when do you like put yourself in the situation, just say, you know what, screw this, Daniel Jones, bench him, he's awful.
Yeah, I think even like at the beginning of the season, we were talking, oh, Malik Nabers is potential offensive rookie of the year. Daniel Jones is holding him back big time. Obviously, Jane Daniels has had great games, now injured. Malik Nabers has the opportunity to become an offensive rookie of the year.
Yeah.
And Daniel Jones is going to hold him back immensely. This guy has not been able to throw a touchdown in his home stadium in his entire career. And you re-sign him and he's a decently paid quarterback compared to the other names, obviously, like Dak Prescott and Jared Goff, Trevor Lawrence. He's a decently paid quarterback.
No, yeah, $40 million just to do that?
Come on, dude. It's like, come on.
Yeah. So if you're a Giants fan, feel bad for you. I mean, I don't know what other answer you have or what this organization is going to do, because you're not going anywhere this season with Daniel Jones. Maybe you just draft a quarterback. I don't know. But, you know, Nick, I think that'll do it for the recap. I think we'll go into next week's schedule. We didn't do that last week. So I think we'll do it this week and give our takes.
Yes. Yeah, so the first game is the Vikings taking on the Rams. Potential Cooper Kupp coming back. They open up Puka Nacua. I still have the Vikings, though. I think Vikings coming off a close loss to the Lions, I think they're out for blood. And the Rams still not fully healthy. I'll take the Vikings.
I agree with you.
The next game is your Green Bay Packers taking on Jacksonville Jaguars. Give me the Packers.
My Green Bay Packers. Yeah, I think we'll crush the secondary. Give me the Packers.
But wait, T-Law is one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Saw it on Twitter, folks.
The next game, potential Tua Tagovailoa return against the Cardinals.
Give me the Cardinals. I mean, if Tua plays, give me the Cardinals.
I'll take the Cardinals too. And then probably the most anticlimactic game, the Jets taking on the Patriots. I think the Jets need a win here.
Yeah, absolutely.
They have Davante Adams, who there's a significant stat out there that's pretty crazy.
Give me the Jets. Yeah.
The next one is Ravens versus Browns. I think there's no question. Give me the Ravens.
Next game.
Eagles versus Bengals.
Ooh, I'll let you go first. This one's interesting.
I think if we have a good game out of Joe Burrow, which has been 50-50 so far this year, I think the Eagles have a great offense. Besides for obviously Devonta Smith getting one catch for -2 yards last week. Thank you, by the way. He's on my fantasy team. Luckily, I had a bye week. But I'll take the Eagles just because I think their run game is a little better. Yeah.
Give me the Eagles. Bengals secondary still not good enough for me. I mean, yeah. Give me the Eagles.
Next game is Colts versus Texans. Obviously, Stephon Diggs did not play last week against Green Bay after throwing a punch at a Green Bay Packers player.
That was very silly.
And he's coming back against the Colts, who I think potentially are going to play Anthony Richardson. I did hear that they will be probably playing Anthony Richardson. I say they should be playing Joe Flacco. But I think the same thing kind of goes with the what I said with the Vikings. Texans coming off a close loss against the Packers. I think they're out for blood. Give me the Texans.
Yeah, Texans back home. Give me the Texans.
Next one. And we'll kind of talk about something else as well. The Titans coming to Detroit to take on the Lions. Now, we learned yesterday. This is recorded on Tuesday, just so you guys are aware. We found out Monday, because it's going out Thursday, that Jameson Williams will be serving a 2-game suspension due to performance enhancement substances. So it's going to be tough for the Lions, obviously. They do have depth at wide receiver with Amon-Ra St. Brown, Tim Patrick, Khalif Raymond, Tom Kennedy, and they do still have Donovan Peoples-Jones on the squad. Going up against the Titans, who have been very much struggling, but there is a stat out there that I will point out. The Lions in franchise history have never beaten the Titans. They are 0-6. I think that turns into 1-6 this week. Obviously, coming to Detroit, home field advantage is big in Detroit. Give me the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, congratulations, Nick. You're going to beat the Titans this weekend.
Yay. next one is the Falcons taking on the Buccaneers. I'll take the Falcons because of the injuries to the Buccaneers. If those injuries didn't happen, I would right away take the Buccaneers. But with those injuries to Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, I will have to give it to the Falcons. And the Falcons have been looking pretty decent as of late, with obviously Bijan Robinson having game after game just incredible. And then Kirk Cousins kind of coming into his own.
But the Falcons are coming off a bad loss against Seattle. I don't know who I like in this game because the last one went to overtime. So I think I'll take the Falcons. Just I think they're coming off a bad loss. Buccaneers are beat up right now. Secondary is terrible. Give me the Falcons.
The next one is the Saints versus the Chargers. The Saints, what happened after week two?
Injuries.
Seriously. But I will take the Chargers in this one. Obviously, Justin Herbert had the weirdest stat line, I think, ever. Threw over 300 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. I think that's a record for most yards with no touchdowns or any interceptions. But I will take the Chargers in this one. I do think it's going to be a close game. I'll give it to them by 10.
Yeah, give me the Chargers. I do think there will be some touchdowns thrown by Justin Herbert. Give me the Chargers.
The next game is the Bills going to Seattle to take on the Seahawks. Give me the Bills.
Okay. I like Seattle. I think West Coast game. I mean, just something about the going to traveling to the West Coast. Always interesting games. Give me the Seahawks at home.
The next game, I think, is going to be a very interesting game. You have now fourth place in the NFC North, the Chicago Bears, taking on the Washington Commanders without Jaden Daniels. Give me the Bears.
Yeah, give me the Bears. I mean, depending on Jaden Daniels, obviously, but this is sad because I wanted to see that Caleb Williams versus Jaden Daniels. Obviously, defenses are different, but I mean, I just wanted to see that matchup. It would have been nice. But yeah, give me the Bears. Yeah.
The next game is the Chiefs taking on the Raiders. I hate to say it, but I think Chiefs move on to 7-0.
7-0. Jeez, who would have thought?
The next one is the Panthers taking on the Broncos.
Oh, dude.
Oh, Nix.
Some of these games are truly painful. Painful. Give me the Broncos.
Give me the Broncos. The next one could be a very interesting game. Cowboys coming off a bye the week before getting demolished by Detroit. Yeah. Taking on the San Francisco 49ers in San Francisco. Sunday night football.
Give me Dallas. I think Dallas needs this one.
Yeah, I'll say Dallas, but I do think it's going to be a very close game. I think within field goal. You know what? I'll go the 49ers.
Okay. I think it'll also be very low scoring. It won't be like 30s, you know. I think over under, we're talking under 50.
I could agree.
Okay.
And then probably the weirdest Monday night game ever. The Giants taking on the Steelers. If Daniel Jones plays, give me the Steelers. If he doesn't, give me the Giants.
He's playing. But they also have Drew Lock as a backup. But yeah, Steelers either Steelers. Way. I mean, yeah, dude, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, so that is next week's game. And then kind of to touch on something real quick before we head out, don't forget, we will be live on November 3rd starting at 1 o'clock. We will be watching half of a 1 o'clock game and then kind of doing a pregame show, tailgate sort of thing. And then the battle begins. Lions versus Packers. So you do not want to miss it. We will be live on our YouTube channel. And yeah, that's going to do it for episode 10. Thank you guys for tuning in to YouTube and Spotify. And yeah, you guys can find us on Twitter at Gridiron Pod NFL. Make sure to give us a follow. Make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel. Follow us on Spotify. And yeah, new episodes coming out every single Thursday. You do not want to miss it. Yeah, and we'll see you guys in the next one.